Hello and welcome to Paranormal or What podcast with me, your host, Michaela Ford. Hello, paranormal peeps. How has your week been this week? Mine was very, very exciting as I went to visit my haunted hotel in Chester again, and what a night it was. So for anyone who's heard of my haunted hotel, it's a very, very haunted pub that's over 400 years old in the ancient town of Chester in the UK. You can pay to go there and be scared out of your wits by the 13 ghosts that reside in the hotel. And not only that, they have a possessed doll called Grace, who is said to be the British Annabelle. So, there we are. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get all of my team members together from my paranormal investigation team, The Other Realm, and we're all going to have a chat about what happened at my haunted hotel and release it as an extra podcast. So that should be coming up within the next week. Now, let's turn to this evening. We have the wonderful Deborah Singleton and Deborah Hatswell in a trio of very paranormal ladies talking about very paranormal things. So, are you ready for this month's installation of Deb and Me? Okay, snuggle down, get something hot and fiery or hot and cozy, and sit in that armchair with your blanket on and your spooky slippers ready. Okay, here we go. Here are the ladies. Okay, so good evening, everybody. Welcome to Paranormal or What podcast with me, your host, Michaela Ford. And I have the two wonderful Debses with me today. Hello, Deb and Deb.
Hello.
So we've got all sorts of malarkey to talk about this evening. But first of all, I believe that somebody told me that Deb Singleton saw a strange orange light. I was intrigued about that. What's this orange light?
Well, I had the door propped open last night because it was really mild up here. And as I opened that, well, it was the early hours because I've got back into footballers' wives. It's all on catch up, and I'm like,
oh my goodness.
I'll just watch this one and I'll go to bed. Anyway, it was very, very early in the morning. And I went to the door, and as I looked up over the trees, there was an orange glow in the sky, but it was forming a cone, like the point was at the bottom and it was fanning up. And I was staring at it, and none of the rest of the sky was black. None of it was, it was just this cone of orange light. I'm like, what's that? I couldn't get it on my phone properly because you know what it's like at night. You can't take a decent shot. Anyway, I went to bed. And then this morning, I got a notification I've got an app called Nextdoor, and it's all about your area. Mm-hmm. And I read this notification, and then I started scrolling through, and somebody had put, does anybody know what this orange light is? I'm like, oh. And when I looked, it's actually the heat lamps at Headingley Stadium that must have reseeded the grass. But it's been seen all over Leeds. It's like really bright. But yeah, I was kind of disappointed because I thought it was a bit spooky.
Oh,
every bit of validation's good though, isn't it? Not you mean that you can debunk it, it's good. Wasting all that light. Was it to not the war on?
I actually said to somebody, I went, I'm gonna go up there in my pajamas tonight. That'll save me putting heat, you know.
Warmest place ever. Me and Mark were up Windsor Hill about a month ago, Michaela. Month, 6 weeks, something like that. We sat in the car and we're actually sky watching because if you go up on a cloud at night when it's not cloudy, the sky's amazing. And we're laying there and we're having a cup of coffee in the car and we're both looking and this light blinked. So So I did the automatic thing that you do. You look for the green and red light, don't you? Right? Round the window down. No, there's no sound to it. It's definitely not a drone. And it blinked again and then just blinked out and vanished.
Oh, wow.
And it didn't go behind a cloud because there was not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah.
And it just, we both looked at, you know, when you do that, did you just see that then?
Yeah.
But it just went blink, 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 and then it were gone.
Wow.
Wow, that's so amazing.
Yeah. Gosh.
Do you know what? Actually, it's quite funny because I thought it might be quite fun every time we meet for me to ask you both a random question. And I was going to save it till the end, but I think it actually feeds in quite well now. So I think I'm going to do it now before we hear what's been going on over the last few months. So my question is, it's quite long, so stay with me.
Okay.
Do you believe that aliens are here on Earth? And if so, where do they come from? How do they get here? And why are they here?
Ooh. Ooh. That's a big question.
Of course, if you say no, it's going to be very short.
I do believe they're here and I do believe they visit and I do believe that they're a different species. I think that the ones that are here are the ones that look human because I don't do it all that often, but you can spot people every now and again and you think, oh, there's something just a little bit off about them. Mm. As to where they come from, I have no idea. Another universe? I mean, if they're advanced enough, they can time travel or whatever. And I really don't know why they're here. Are they here to study us? Are we their little project? Oh, I don't know. I really don't know. Mm. So that's my view. I don't know.
No, I'd agree with you there, Deb. And for me, it's the same. Yes, I do believe that they exist. Yes, I believe that they are on Earth and that they have a way of travelling is the only way to put it. I'm not so sure if they're all from out of space. No. I think many things that we would discuss as alien are beings in their own right, like a lizard man, a reptilian, something like that. They are extraterrestrial in origin. Or like Deb said, are they dimensional? Is it something that's coming in and out that we would class as an alien, like the prismatic being that people see?
Yep.
So this thing that blends light, that could be extraterrestrial. If we just use that as an example, extraterrestrial, some kind of weaponry or tech that enables do that, that would suggest a high intelligence.
Yeah.
For me, I think there are bases on the Earth, and I don't know whether people think I'm a crackpot for that, but I don't really care. There are definitely places on this Earth. Me and you were talking the other day, Deb, weren't we, about the South Pole?
Yeah.
There's nothing out there. We spend billions and billions and billions keeping people away from there. Why?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, is it the like resources out there, like gold or, you know, something? No, nothing. There's nothing out there. No. Why are we not allowed to fly over it? My personal opinion, Michaela, is that there are a race of beings, whether they be from here or dimensional, that exist in a sub-zero climate.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Gosh, I'd never even thought about that before.
I would agree with that, yeah. There's definitely something. Why are you not? Why there's a no fly zone?
No fly zone. What was that chap called, Deb?
Admiral Byrd.
Admiral Byrd said that he'd seen several UFOs at the pole, and he didn't just fly one mission. He flew quite a few missions, and reported back on those beings. These really, really old texts. I think it's the Sumatrans that state that area used to be a lush jungle.
Yeah.
What we would probably call Atlantis.
Mm. Yes.
And that there was some kind of war between the people of Atlantis and what is described as the moon base. So there are supposed aliens within the moon and they had this war and that's why the planet's frozen. I don't know how true that is, but like anything in history, there's got to be a grain of truth in it.
Yeah.
And they've handed it down and handed it down and handed it down. So
it gets filtered, doesn't it? And bits added and bits taken away, and then you end up with a totally different story as to how it originated.
But touching on what you said, that thing where sometimes you see people and they're just off.
Yeah.
You just think, like I've said before I definitely interviewed a lizard man, definitely, 100%. He just, his eyes morphed and everything mid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was quite frightening to see. And I just came up with an excuse and ended the interview. And yeah, I was quite shaken up by it.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Gosh, so his eyes changed.
Oh, yeah. You see, everything kind of changed in him. It was like, I don't know, almost as if he was kind of holographic. I don't really know how to put into words. Do you know, like a CD, when you move it in the light?
Yes.
And yeah. The changes. It was like that. It was almost like he had that going on.
I remember you saying to me at the time you were expecting him to lick his eyeball any minute.
Tongue to come out and they caught a fly. He was very toad-like, reptilian-like. I don't really know even how to put it into words, but I do have a witness, Michaela, in Preston.
Yeah.
Civil servant who worked for the government who described exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember you said, and they said that the person changed in front of them and then changed back again, like their face.
Well, for me, it was more, he almost, the word I would use would be melded.
Yeah.
So he was himself, but it was almost like I saw past that for a moment, and he knew that I was startled. He knew.
It was like he was showing you, almost, like it was like a second change, and then kind of...
Really hard, because if I give too much away, he will know who I'm speaking about.
Yeah.
But he'd booked me for about half an hour, and I think by that point we'd been on a lot, let's say 5 times longer than that. And I think he was tired and I was tired. And it was like, you know, when you're trying to bring the conversation to an end.
Yeah.
And I think for a split second, he didn't hold it. He morphed. Basically
he didn't maintain his mask.
Maintain it anymore.
Somebody you were...
His energy waned, is the way I would put it. His energy waned. It was in that moment.
Sorry, you went quiet then. Was it...
It was almost as if, Michaela, like, his energy drained or ebbed.
Yeah.
And that's when I saw him for that split second. And then I was startled. And obviously, it was a bit... Am I not there?
It was a video, was it? You keep coming in and out. I don't know.
I can hear you.
Am I doing that for you, Deb?
No, I can hear you loud and clear.
I think it's Michaela's end.
Probably.
Keep going.
Start again. Let's start that bit again.
I think I just need not to interrupt, because when I interrupt you, in my ear, your audio goes.
Right, I get you. But well, let's start from where I just said that I think his energy ebbed. So I think what was happening, Michaela, was we were both tired. It'd been a long interview. And I think his energy ebbed in some way. It just melded. It was like I'd see him for a split second and then I pulled back and he knew that I was flustered and I couldn't carry on the interview. I didn't know what to say. Yeah. And it's probably, I said to Deb, it's probably happened 2 or 3 times where I interviewed an American chap and there was just something about, I don't know, his eyes were almost black, like, you know, like a shark.
Yeah.
Like that, like completely black. And he wouldn't make eye contact with me. And some witnesses are like that on a video call. And I get that. I understand that. But this was different.
Yeah.
This was avoidance rather than... And he made me very uncomfortable throughout the... And he fired questions at me, like a sergeant major.
Wow. And were you interviewing him, but he was kind of quizzing you at the same time?
I was supposed to be interviewing him, but I didn't get a word in edgeways at all. He would just ask me these really random questions and I kept trying to pull him back onto subject. And he'd say, well, have you ever been hypnotised? And I'd be like, no, I haven't. And I'd pull him back onto subjects and say, like, well, tell me what you saw in your room when you were a child. And it was almost like, tell me how you felt when your dad died. It was as if he was trying to trip me up. It
sounded like he was trying to interview you rather than you interview him.
Kind of what it was like, yeah, but it was more of an interrogation, I would say.
Yeah.
I never saw it go out anywhere or anything like that. It was really strange. But you mean you do get... odd interviews, don't get me wrong, but these were stood out in a different way. It was like just era. It was just, that was the word I would use for them, just era. And like, okay, like it'll happen to you at some point, no doubt, as you carry on interviewing people.
Yeah.
Wow. Gosh. I think, yeah, I think I'd just literally stop and sort of start stuttering.
That was exactly what I did. I just flustered. I just completely flustered. And I normally, when that happens, you can always grab a thought from somewhere, or, you know, nothing. I just completely blank. I just wanted to put the interview to bed. And it was just like, right, I'm really sorry, but, you know, something's come up, I'm going to have to go. And then I just did that. But it was like he was trying to hypnotize me. That's the bit I missed.
Yeah.
He kept asking me the same question in different ways. And that's a technique, that, isn't it, Deb?
It is, yeah.
It was almost like he was studying me.
Yeah.
Like a,
yeah. See, you don't know if he's somebody from somewhere that's checking you out. So he comes on as the guise of, you know, wanting to be interviewed, and then starts interviewing you to find out what you're all about. And
he just wouldn't give anything away. It was like, I don't know. I've interviewed probably over 4,000 witnesses now, and those three people stand out to me above all of them. So it says that they were extraordinary.
Yeah.
In some way, kind of thing. But I've had weirder ones, and you probably have, Deb, where I've been interviewing people and a message has come through.
Well, I've never had that, no.
Oh, I have. And you in my head, I'm saying, shh, 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 because then I'm hearing two things. I'm hearing the guest and the message, and it's like, shh, shh, shh. So I learned a long time ago to just shut myself down before I did anything,
yeah,
because I was once interviewing a witness, and I'm not going to say the correct name, but we were mid-interview, and I asked him, I said, who's? And I said the name, and he got really upset. And he said that was the lad I was with at the time when it happened, and it affected him so badly that he actually committed suicide years later.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And it, she's just morphed. Did you hear that then?
Yeah.
Was that me?
Michaela's sound just morphed then. That was really...
It's so annoying. I don't normally. This is my son.
Really creepy.
Sorry, you just went really creepy. You went all metallic. I wonder what it's going to be like when I play it. I'll have to put a disclaimer on the beginning.
Yeah.
I've got my son's new gaming earphones on, headphones,
right,
the mic. And I normally use this proper old fashioned mic.
Yes.
And there we are.
Oh yeah.
He went, no, my mic's got really good sound, blah 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 blah. And I've had nothing but problems since I put it on.
Yeah, don't worry about it. But yeah, sometimes they'll come through, you'll get like you'll be chatting with someone and you'll get a message for them, or you'll see something about them, and you're like, now is not the time.
Yeah.
Well, I wish that happened to me. It never happens to me.
No.
Don't be careful what you wish for, believe me.
Yeah.
Only once I was stood in my bedroom, just folding some washing, I think, and all of a sudden I got this static in my head, like radio static.
Yeah.
And somebody went, hello.
Oh.
And it was the most bizarre thing. It was almost like, you know, if you listen to headphones, then the voice is, it feels like you're not listening to it, but it's actually in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this voice was, I heard it, but it wasn't from out of my head. It was in my head.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
And I just stood there and I was going, hello, hello, hello. And I half expected someone to reply, but no one did. And that was it. It was crackle, 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 hello, from within my head. And then that was it. It was
That's weird.
Bizarre thing.
And you were folding washing?
Yeah.
So you were an automatic pilot. You were relaxed. That's one thing that you try and train people to do. Deb's the same when she's driving. She has most of her experiences driving or in bed.
Yeah.
So on autopilot both times. For me, it's the woodlands. The minute I step into the woods, I'm the most relaxed, and that's when stuff happens around me, is when I'm in the woodlands. Right. I just had a memory from the other night, and it shook me a little bit. Did I tell you about the thing I saw on Winter Hill running away?
No.
Really? Yeah. We've been going up and down same place for ages, and about 3 months ago, Michaela, I just randomly took some photographs, and in one of them, because obviously I just clicked it, so it goes, and I just wanted them for B-roll. So I did that, and I got home, and I went to edit them to make them nicer, and I realised that in one of them, there's just this white smirly mist everywhere.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
We weren't smoking. There was nobody else out. And I was near the car. And Mark had took the dog off to walk around the reservoir. So there's no lights out there. It's completely pitch black. When we normally, we just have a brew and then we go home. And that's what we did, really. So a couple of nights later, we're in the same place. And it's raining. So it's not warm at any point. It's probably November. Really, really cold, actually, for this time of year. Brez is about 4 foot deep. Than normal, so it's a lot of rain. And I went to turn the corner, and as we turned the corner in the car, I seen this, it looked like steam or mist, and it was about 2.5 feet tall, and it was the back end of something. It was like a bum the legs, and it turned and looked at me, and it was quite annoyed that I'd seen it, and it took off, Michaela. And the next few nights after, when we went back, we obviously had Mark slammed on because this little thing's run across the road in front of us. When we go back, there's a massive hole in the wall where a car's gone through.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm thinking, would that have been us if he hadn't
slammed?
But whatever it was really annoyed that I'd seen it. It looked back at me almost like it wanted to do that. It was like, oh, she's seen me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really strange.
And did it look humanoid? Was it humanish? Kind
of. It was a bum. And the only way I could describe it, and it sounds ridiculous, like the bottom half of a Smurf.
Right. Or
what you'd imagine a boggart to look like. Just a bum and a pair of legs running away. Little fat, stubby thing. And Matt went, it was steam. 2 degrees or something. It would steam. I just looked at him and he looked at me, but it really puzzled the pair of us. But yeah. I think see it together, at least you think, oh, thank God, I didn't just see it on
just me.
Yeah. But every time I pass that bit now, I have a look. I've not seen it since, but yeah, it proper spooked me out. And it was exactly the same area where we saw that car that cannot have driven past us, and it just vanished.
Yeah.
So what's going on there on that bit for me? I might be picking up on some like energy there, you know, to get me as I'm going into that area and coming out of it.
Any reports or anything like accidents or?
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people choose Angles Arc to take their own life because it's a cliff edge.
Yeah.
A lot of that going on. And there's a number of memorial sites on there where people who, like me, love the area, so they kind of make it into a little garden.
Yeah.
I love it. It's just a beautiful, amazing place. And you can see right across the coast, like out to Wales and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But it does have a kind of eeriness as it gets dark.
Yeah.
It's a very different place in the day than it is at night. And even Mark's a bit wary about walking around there at night on his own. It's just a strange place to be. We sit there and I always say to him, I could just imagine a dog man coming over that ridge now. It's that kind of, when you're in car. And you can be up there and you're sat in a cloud. So you can't see beyond the bonnet of your car. It's a bit spooky, that.
Oh, yeah. Sounds. I will have to go next time I come over.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's lovely. Yes. Absolutely lovely. And it's just, I don't know, it's something old about it, I would say. Ancient.
Wow. I wonder if there's a kind of dimensional rip or something where it kind of
matches. Yeah, that's good. Somebody suggested to me the other day that it might have something to do with the metal, like iron.
Yes.
Because the Pennine Fault, and we're at that bit where two tectonic plates meet, is it something to do with the geology of the area? There are a lot of cave systems there, it's very similar to Deb. You remember when we went to Halifax?
Yeah.
Meet up and we had a brew. It's like that area, but smaller.
Right, yeah.
And so it's like that. So that's the kind of area that you're in. Very ancient, I would imagine. I bet man has lived in those cave systems for a long time, but I wouldn't imagine it's only man.
No.
And where did you go in Halifax? Tell me.
We went to Viaduct. What's it called, Deb?
It's gone. I should know at all. I don't live that far from Halifax.
Huge viaduct in the middle of the valley. We went actually to meet people, other witnesses that had.
Really? Is there a pub on the corner near the viaduct as you go up the hill?
Oh, it's way out. It's way out in the middle of nowhere. There's a tiny little cabin that you can buy a brew from. Proper walking.
No, it's not Halifax. It was Pittridge. Thingy Reservoir.
Yeah, it won't come to me. It'll come to me next year when I don't need it.
Not Rippendon, was it?
No. You go through Pateley Bridge and out, right into the middle of nowhere. And then when you see the turning for the reservoir, it's like another 5 miles to the actual reservoir bit.
Yeah, that's like home for me.
I think I saw a report about that, because I was thinking, because my family are from Halifax, and I was thinking... Oh my goodness, I didn't know about that. And is it a little reservoir where loads and loads of paranormal stuff happen and you're not actually allowed to go and walk around the reservoir anymore?
I'm not sure. I picked it simply because it was in the middle of nowhere, and there are a number of ports around the area that I picked, and that's why I picked it. It was like a cartwheel effect, and it connects to the moor on my side of the moor. So what I'm thinking is people on this side seeing lights and people on this side seeing lights are seeing the same thing. So it was just a meeting, and we had a brew and people came out, and one of the witnesses from Wales came out. She was quite a long way for her to come, but she'd had an experience that really shook her up, Michaela, and she'd got from not really being prepared to speak about it. A number of years had passed now, and she wanted to come out and talk to people about it. And she would basically, you know, now that lots of people camp in the cars. It's much cheaper. You don't need a site. Yeah. You know, you're just better than wild camping. And that's what she did. She was in Wales, and she was at Llanogwyn, at the lake there, parked up there's a little car park there, and you're not allowed to park in there overnight. So ironically, she was underneath the no parking sign. But there was another car just in a corner from her, a red car, and she said, she's asleep in the car and the weather gets so bad that the wind's shaking the car and it's lightning and thundering, and she just thinks, I can't stay here. I'm just going to drive down into Bangor, go into the car park, and it's safe. I'll stay there. And as she comes from the back seat to get into the driver's seat, she said the lightning flashes, and where the red car is directly to her left, there's a figure stood at the side of the car, about 8 feet tall, all black in colour, looking into the car. And as the light flashed, it saw her looking at it. And she said it just took off up the mountain. And I don't know whether it went through the wire fence or it was strode over the wire fence, but it was up and it was gone.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's similar kind of rocky territory. So at the time we're looking into, the cave system's important in any way? Are these creatures, or, you know, whatever they may be, moving around using those subterranean areas? There's even reports in London, Michaela, of subterranean beings below the subway. I think Deb's probably come across.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Because if you think that in London, there is quite a lot of abandoned underground.
Yes, there are.
So anything could... You know, if it's abandoned, they're not going to be keeping an eye on it. So anything could be lurking about down there. You'd never know. I haven't remembered. I've just looked up the name of the reservoir. It was Scar House Reservoir.
That's it. That's the one.
Trying to look it up as well.
Just outside Pateley Bridge, but it is in the middle of nowhere, like Deb said.
People use it to sky. A lot of UFO reports and lights in the sky and stuff like that up there.
Yeah.
And when people from that area make reports, you know it stands out because they are used to that. Yeah. I interviewed a lad the other day, and he stayed in a boffer right on the edge of where Northumberland, where Adrian's Wall is.
Yeah.
On the Scottish side of Adrian's Wall, you can wild camp anywhere you want in Scotland. You can have a ground fire. Doesn't even matter if it's private land, you're allowed to camp on it. Step over that wall and you're not in England, but he's a regular user of the boffies, and he's out there with his mates. He said it was a night of football. He walked in, it was quite a rough way to get in there. All of them are in the buffet, and he notices the light's got a stable door, So the top end of the door's open.
Yeah.
And this is a light. And he said, at first, we're thinking it's a torch because it's bobbing about. There's no noise to it, nothing like that. And it starts to get bigger. He said, but we didn't know if it was like a warden or a ranger with torch walking towards us. And that's why it was getting bigger. He said, and then it started to do these ridiculous movements that were just completely impossible. There was no sound of an engine. There was no flashing lights with it. So very similar to what we get a lot of the reports of, that light in the sky that just moves like a searchlight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said it held his and his friend's attention for a really, really long time, when we're talking hours. So if it was the helicopter, it would have had to go back and refuel. Yeah. A drone can't stay out for hours on end. So they really couldn't. He said, even in my mind, I'm trying to imagine, is it a Land Rover and one of the lights has gone? Yeah. I'm trying to think of a reason why this light would be out there. He said, and it was really strange. None of us remember going to bed. None of us. He said, none of us got up in the night. So you've got four men in bunks in a tiny buffet with a little fire in bad weather. Nobody got up to put more wood on that fire. None of them remember being asleep. He said, and it was like two of them refused to discuss it in the morning. Yeah. They just refused to discuss it. But him and the one of the lads, his nickname's Manhead, him and Manhead went outside to kind of talk about it, he said, and there was a circular, like where the grass had been pushed down in a circle.
Right.
Outside. So I said to him, is that the only time you've ever experienced like anything weird, like in a buffet? And he went, oh, no, no. He said, there was another time where we had this kind of noise. He said, and we couldn't get out of there quick enough. Yeah, we just couldn't get out of there quick enough. And it was a long interview that he did with me. And you know what he told me, Michaela? He said, when I was six, I met my granddad for the first time. And he was a merchant seaman. He said, and he gave me three things. One of them was a compass. One of them was a watch. And one of them was a book. And he said to me, you won't know what this book's important for now, son. But when you're older, you will. And it was the Chariots of the Gods.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have an interesting job, I do. But, yeah, what a lovely fella to talk to. But he is so used to being out there that that stood out to him as really, really strange. The fact that they don't remember going to sleep.
Yeah.
It's almost as if they were kind of put to sleep.
Yeah.
Or maybe the memories went out at that point. I don't know. But he was happy sharing it. He didn't mind being named. He was absolutely fine with it. And he said, some of those buffets are bad. They're beyond haunted.
Ooh.
But I'm going to sit down with him again this week, and he's going to explain some other events that have happened within the buffets to him and other people. But I said to him, have you ever seen lights before? And he said, yeah, I have. Throughout my life, I've seen lights in the sky. And I think that's like that for a lot of people. I think a lot of people will gel with him because it's probably for them, yeah.
It's funny you should say that, because the other night, it's always when I'm going to shut the door. No, it wasn't actually. Gaz was working late and I'd gone out to put some fresh water out because Bob has to have water outside as well. As I came back, I looked up into the sky and there was about five, what I thought were stars, but they were all flickering orange. And I'm like, I said to my mate, I went, because he knows a bit about sort of stars and things, and I went, what would flicker orange like that? And there was like five of them. I know that there's one star that flickers in different colours. I think it's Venus, is it?
Possibly.
But these were all kind of orange, but not a bright orange. They were a dull orange, but they were all just flickering in the sky.
Like a gaslight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of that before.
Very odd.
Devil's elbow.
And I'm always looking up and I've never seen a thing. No. I stand outside sometimes and, you know, I do have the occasional cigarette. And sometimes I only go out to have one so I can stare at the sky.
Yeah.
And sometimes I actually go out there and don't have a cigarette and just stare at the sky anyway.
Yeah.
And I've never seen anything. It's really annoying.
I didn't really until I met Mark, which is strange. But I never really had an interest in the sky until I met Mark. That is the only way I can put it. And we were together quite a bit before he told me about his experience with the light and missing time and everything. And it was after he told me It happened in Bowness about 18 months later. With same thing, we're staying at a hotel. And when you're in a place where there's no light pollution, the night is black.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Black. You can't see your hand in front of your face. And we're both outside. It's winter, so there's no people staying at the hotel. And we're in the car park. There's no lighting. And we're looking at the sky. And this, it was white. It just looked like a star. But it moved like a fly.
Yeah.
It went down, across, and off. At just an incredible speed.
Yeah.
Just off. So there was that time, and then there was this time when I seen a light. And it probably, if I sat down and thought about it, it's probably more than that.
Yeah.
But Mark sees a lot of things in the sky, as does the lad who was with him, Lee. He watches the sky nightly because he's obsessed with proving to people that he saw what he saw.
Yeah.
And one of my friends who's a part of that tale, passed away at Christmas. So I was incredibly grateful that I took the time to speak to him about it, because he was the one that said, Deb, you were with me. You were with me in Gibson Lane when we saw those lights. I was like, I wasn't. I didn't even live in this town then.
Yeah.
No, but that's just a story for another podcast.
Yeah,
the Mandela effect.
Possibly. Yeah.
I had a bit of a strange thing day before yesterday. I've had a lot of strange, you know, like little bitty things lately.
As you accept more will happen, yeah.
And I was sat, I've been knitting a scarf. It's getting to be like 50 foot long now, but I sat knitting my scarf and I was like, obviously, just chilling out because I've got my rhythm going and everything. And I glanced up and something ran across. We've got, our garden goes into a point, a triangle. And it's all paved and everything. And something shot across the size of a thin man. And it was like, you know, the predator before it changes.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That shimmering. Yep. Like you, I think Deb said about prismatic light. Mm-hmm. And it just shot across the thing. And I thought, is that, you know, like your eyes when you get floaters?
Yeah.
Is that a floater? But I was like moving my eyes about and nothing. But it was just this tall, tall thing that just shot across the garden.
Wow.
So I have
heard that before. Rendlesham has two reports like that, Deb.
Right.
There's a place in the northeast, I think it's Beamish, has a very similar report. And I've got to be honest, a lot of people will see that in the woods.
Yeah.
Where it just runs really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen that myself with my own eyes. Because you think, what was that?
Yeah. That was the same. I was just... And then sort of looking and thinking, is it going to come back? Yeah. So I sat here for a bit and I'm kind of staring out, nothing. It was just that one, as I glanced up, it just went from right across the window straight from right to left.
Yeah, I've had something similar. And it was, I was watching TV in the living room. I might have told you this before, so I'm sorry if I have. But it was only a few weeks ago. And we've got a through lounge and then patio doors at the back.
Yeah.
And if you're looking from the TV where I was down through the patio are the neighbours that were semi-detached.
Yeah.
And we're attached to the neighbours on the right, if you're looking that way. From the front is the left. But if you're looking to the back garden, the neighbour is on the right.
Yeah.
So there's a fence at the end of the patio windows where it's then the next door neighbor's garden. And as I was sat there watching TV, I thought my youngest son was out in the garden messing about, because I thought what I thought was him ran really fast across the patio doors. And then I looked and I said, is Sam outside? And then, of course, my brain clicked as if to say, but he can't, nothing can have run that way because they would have run into the fence.
Yeah.
But it was exactly the same. It was just like a fully formed person just went whoosh, whoosh, straight past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's strange.
I've had a report coming from Loch Ness from Boxing Day. I was just actually pulling it up then. That's what I was doing. We had a report from a lady just before Christmas, and she's working with one of my investigators. And her and her husband had seen something on their land, and they live out at Loch Ness. And she said Boxing Day it was snowing, and he was out. And as he's pulled into the car, he's reversed into the drive. He's caught something in the headlights and he just ran straight across, like you two have just described, a really dark figure, human shape, that ran across the garden. And the investigator asked her to go out and look for prints, and she quite rightly said, I'm not going out there.
No.
Not at all, and I don't blame her. And I've had a report come in that mentions this prismatic thing, and she's actually sent me a photograph, and it's in Dungeness, and that's as near as I can give you to where it is.
Yeah.
And she said it was almost as if she could see the figure, but she could see through him to the foliage, and she didn't know if it was through him or that he was reflecting his surroundings back at her.
Yeah.
In some way. And she actually said, I've just pulled it here, Deb. She said his colour was almost black, but you could see the branches and the foliage behind him appearing through him as colour, similar to slate grey. There was no sound with him. It had been showering on and off all day, and I should have heard his feet. And there was a ripple, and the ripple was in his movement, she said. At one point, a single ripple passed through him vertically from back to front. Oof. And my initial thought at the time as I saw this ripple was it looked like he could bend the light.
Yeah.
And when you were speaking, I just thought, I need to go and pull that report up. Yeah. Like, that one I've not even made public yet. It's just sat in me. But yeah, the ripple effect I've heard many, many times before.
Yeah. I suppose you could see that if it's a kind of like, I would have, if that thing hadn't been so quick going across, that probably would have maybe done that.
Yeah, that's
like
it.
Like a wave of energy or light or something.
It's hard to describe it because you can't actually see it.
Yes.
You see the motion of it in the and you can see it in your peripheral. But if you had to sit down and draw it, it'd be absolutely impossible. Right.
No, you wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't have been able to draw that.
Thousands of people.
See what it was. But
yeah.
No way I could interpret that onto paper.
No, thousands of people. No, that report. It's much more common than people believe. Yeah. Lots of people say to you, never had any paranormal experiences, mate. I see the odd shadow. I see the odd thing running quick. Well, that's about it. And you think, well, actually, if it's coming from your peripheral, it's coming from that part of your brain that's on autopilot.
Yeah.
And that's the part you tap into. Like Michaela, as she stood folding washing. We all go into a zone when we're doing housework. It's what we do, getting your nest in order. And you knitting.
Yeah.
So you sit down knitting and you relax, and that's why you're using that part of your brain. So just don't ever doubt the experiences that you're having.
I don't know.
That's it, and that's why you're having more of them, because you're comfortable with them now. Yeah. So, you know, you'll get more and more of it. Michaela always says, I've never had any experiences, but...
I've seen a lot of paranormal things, but I've definitely not seen anything in the sky. I'm sure about that. Unless I've been abducted without knowing.
Yeah,
but I do see shadow figures. In fact, it's quite funny because I was reading something a few weeks ago, and I started to wonder whether I had something attached to me, because I because shadow things. Always felt like I was just constantly having really bad luck, and every time something good happened to me, something would happen to spoil it.
Yeah.
And so I was watching this program. It was talking about sort of not curses, but that type of thing. Yeah. So I actually just sat there and sort of out to the ether was saying, you know, I renounce any evil. If anybody has sort of cursed me, then I demand that it be lifted. All that sort of thing, like a cleansing thing.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I haven't seen anything since.
Touch wood.
Touch wood. It was starting to freak me out. Because I'll tell you the worst one, but always in the kitchen, I would see, like, fraction of a second, like little black figures. But the one that really freaked me out, and this is the one that made me go, look, this is enough now, something's happening, was I came out of the bathroom one night and I saw this black shadow scuttle into my eldest son's room, and it was almost like what you might call a shadow rat.
Yeah.
And I actually went into his bedroom, and in my mind I was going, "Don't you dare get out of my sister," yeah, sort of thing. And then I went on a ghost hunt, which was really fun, actually. I think it was in Hastings, and it was one of these ones that you can pay to go to. It was Barry Guy off Help My House is Haunted, and he was running it. And it was really fun, and I think it was a jail in Hastings that's on the seafront. Anyway, not much happened until we went into this one really creepy room where somebody had been killed or something. And I kept seeing these shadow rats going up the wall.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was thinking, I really don't like this. And it wasn't until I watched a TV program and there was a medium on there. I can't remember which one it was. It might have been Cindy Kayser, the American psychic. And she was talking about these. No, I'll tell you who it was. It was, she's called Amy Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know you mean. Yeah.
Amazing. Anyway, she was talking about these shadow rats that had taken over this person's house. And I was sat there and I went, "Shadow rats! That's what they are." And that's when I started trying to do this positive kind of almost defending of my house.
Yeah.
But touch wood, it seems to be worth. I haven't seen these shadow things since.
No, that's weird.
I've taken a few attachments off people, and I've sent some spirit home, and I've cleared some houses, but I've never used any tech. I've never had to do anything other than teach that person to set their boundaries.
Yeah.
So I normally start with, "Well, what would you do?" You know, also I've seen something in my daughter's room, and it's like, "Well, what would you do if it was a man in your daughter's room?" "Well, I'd turf him out." "Well, that's what you do. You walk in that room and you say, 'Get out of my,' whatever it is you need to say."
Yeah.
You set that boundary. Energy will start small, Michaela. So, and the more you feed it, the bigger it becomes. So if you feed those rats with fear, eventually they will become dog-sized. And then when you get used to seeing them and you don't fear them anymore, they will ramp up that fear.
Yeah.
Why? I have no idea. I think it is to do with the fact that they enjoy our fear. They feed on somehow. You know, we're like little milkshakes to them. And just some people have played their entire lives with it.
Yeah.
Entire lives, and they've had no help. And it's really sad if it's a kid. I worked with a lad who said they would physically pull him out of bed at night, or they would do things in the house and he would get the blame for it.
Mm.
And it just plagued him, absolutely plagued him. And there's another lad I can think of now who said the same thing. He said he'd be in bed and something would throw things at him in the bed. And he saw a light that came into the room. He was downstairs one night asleep on the couch, and he said, "I just knew something was at the front door." And he looks out the bay window, and there's just this black, shadowy shape of a human thing. And he said, "I cannot, even in my 30s, I cannot leave the curtains open in my house because I'm terrified about what I'm going to see through that window." It's frightening, isn't it, when you think?
It is. And I'm the other way around. We've got the curtains and we've got the vertical blinds, but I have to have the blinds open and the curtains open because if that outside light comes on, I want to know what's triggered it.
Same. If it's coming, I want to see it coming.
Yeah, exactly.
It is weird. So any more things? So Deborah, you said you've got a few stories to tell us, a few reports.
I've had an amazing amount of reports come in. I can't tell you. Me and Deb are working on a secret TV project, which I know the Brits are absolutely going to love. And what we've done, I can't give too much away. I'm not allowed. I'm under contracts, as they say. But we haven't separated the genres, which is what mostly happens. So you'll have a programme about UFO. You'll have a programme about paranormal, or you'll have a programme about missing time. We've intermingled all of them, and the witnesses stretch all across the globe, and they're talking about their own personal truth and what they saw and what happened to them that day. And I honestly believe 100% that it's going to be massive because it's not hyped it up in any way. So on the edge of that, a number of reports have come in. That many that it's just, it's, I'm making sure I'm having to do at least two a day now so I can keep on top of him. So in January alone, I'm just having a look now. Let me count. Let me get down to the 1st of Jan. Kent police report 27 ewes are killed in one attack.
27?
27.
Hell.
Which led me to a report in Dublin, where up to 50 sheep were found in the same way in a field. No blood, no tyre marks, no sign of poaching, not predated on, just dead, annihilated, absolutely annihilated. Then we've got a chap who reports something that he believes is a rake. He said its skin was hanging off its face and it was over his bed. Right. Oh. Yeah. Next one. A chap who's at university looks out the window and sees this dark humanoid figure. He's in a room with his mate and he says to his mate, "Can you see this?" And they look and they can. They can both see it. And he said it suddenly shot off to the left. And as it shot off to the left, he said, "We should have been able to see it and we couldn't. We just couldn't. We couldn't see it. It just kind of vanished." Two nights later, it's back at the same lad's flat, having a fag out the window. He said, "And it's there again, but it ain't small this time. It's long and tall, really long and tall." Got its back to them and it just walked off into the woodland. And it was in a place called Trent Park, near Basildon, near Enfield in London. Then we've got a chap in Milford, November 2021, sees a huge grey scruffy canine, and Milford's not far from Cannock Chase.
No.
So it fits in with the Cannock Chase reports. The next one is the Boxing Day one at Loch Ness that I've told you about, where they see a figure. Then we've got one in Kirkhill Forest, where a chap's out with his grandson and his wife, and they're walking along. And they take some photographs simply because the kid keeps telling him that he doesn't want to be there. He's spooked. He doesn't feel right. He just doesn't. And I take some photos and there's a weird figure stood in one of them. So I've got that and that's just been released for people to have a look at. Then we've got a horse and rider who are out. And she said it's in, I think it's Dorset again. Dorset is very hot this time of year. Yeah, Ashmore. I've rode horses my entire life in and out of the woods without any issue. Back in the summer of 1990, I rode my horse. It was as laid back as anything through Ashmore Woods. I got lost and I was trying to navigate my way out of the woods with my map. And for no reason I could think of, I started to feel uneasy. And I felt like I was being watched. And then I followed as I rode through the woods. She felt followed. Sorry, that was my mistake. She said, "I heard nothing and I saw nothing. But my gut instinct grew stronger every second and told me to just get out of there." Well, this set of woods is between Cranbourne Woods and another area that's full of sighting reports of cryptid creatures. So she's basically bang in the middle, riding within those two woodlands and seeing something. So not finished yet. It keeps going. Then we've got the chap who had dreams that came true. I'm not sure if I told you that one already, Michaela. He had a dream when he was in he was in a hotel and he was in Bolton, and a lady within seconds a lady was in the bed at the side of him. I'm not explaining it very well. He was in his hotel room on his own in bed and he felt something within the bed and he thought it was a remote and he realized it wasn't, and as he looked there's a woman laying in the bed in a white robe. And he said she took one look at him and just started to pummel him. She battered holes out of him and then she vanished.
Ooh.
So we have a look up and I find out that there's a lady that's died in that room, room 502. And she died during the night of a diabetic coma. And I said to him, maybe she doesn't know.
Yeah.
She woke up in her realm and you're in her bed and she's done what I've done. She started, you know, fighting to get out of bed. And then he had a dream. And in this dream, he sees a young lass. He said he knew it was Scotland. And it was a bald-headed man and a young girl. And this man's battering holes out of her. And the police come and everything. He said, and I'm driving a Mercedes van at the time, which is ridiculous. He said, didn't think no more of it. My dad passes away. And I put my dad's furniture. It was all decent. So I put it on Marketplace on Facebook. The young lad phones him, you know, can I have the washing machine? Sets the washing machine up there. Walks in the young lad's house, mum's in the kitchen, mum's the girl in the dream. So he said, I didn't say nothing to her. I didn't know what to say. I didn't say anything. He just left. And then he said, I dropped her right clanger because I messaged her and said, I've had a dream about you.
Yeah. So that's then creepy.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all, is it? And then he wrote it down, actually, and he keeps a dream diary. And he was able to show her that online and explain what he'd seen. And she said to him, wait a second. And she comes back and she shares a newspaper report. And it was in Kokoda, not far from Rick. And a bald-headed man who was her ex-partner beat the crap out of her in the middle of the town centre, and he'd gone to court and he'd just been sentenced.
Right.
And Billy can't work out the Mercedes van. And then he said, the ambulance. Ambulance is the Mercedes vans,
yeah.
Aren't it? Yeah. So in the dream, he's the ambulance man.
Oh, wow. How do you maybe go off, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm all chilled now.
How do you explain that to people, you know? And he actually, Michaela, got in touch with the paranormal company, a paranormal investigation team, who told him he probably just had a nightmare.
That's what? Ridiculous.
Honest. He showed me the diary, the newspaper reports we found. Everything he said has been bob on.
Yeah.
And they just were like so dismissive and just said, yeah, maybe it was a night terror or, you know, you've had a bad nightmare or something like that. Absolutely.
That's a paranormal team.
Yeah.
They need firing. You're fired.
Yeah.
And your paranormal badging at the door as you leave. Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. I think they made him feel silly.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's the thing, isn't it? That's what makes people not want to come forward because they're in that kind of...
Ordinary working class lad, you know. He's he collects cars, so... If he'll go up on the train and bus,
yeah,
picks the car up from dealership and either takes it to the new owner or to the new dealership. So that's what he does. So he stays in a lot of hotels, yeah, and he doesn't even book them himself. The firm does all of that. He said, yeah, I just rock up, Deb, eat something, go to sleep, and in the morning, grab the car, set the car back. So that's all he was doing. He said he got off at Bolton Station, grabbed a kebab, went up to his room, travel lodging.
Yeah.
Just lay on bed, watch a bit of telly, went to sleep. It's normal, as he said. And the next thing he wakes up and she's there in bed next to him. Oh. So the first time he reaches out to tell anyone, they go, it's a bit hard for us to deal with. So maybe, you know, I said to him, no, we are going to that hotel and we are booking in that room. And if we have to do, we put you back in that bed. Yeah. But like, because if she's in there and she's stuck, we need to help her over. We need to let her know.
Yeah, she doesn't know she's gone.
No, especially if she's gone in the sleep with a diabetic coma, she won't have any clue.
No.
Yeah. So that's my next plan. At some point this month, get booked in there and probably go live from there so people can see it, I think.
Yeah, that'd be good, yeah.
So I'm really interested, actually, because I have long been of the opinion that you don't need to be specially trained or any sort of medium to help people cross over. However, I had this conversation with somebody, let's say very well known in the British paranormal field. I won't say who. And that person absolutely kind of tore my theory to shreds and said that it was egotistical to think that just anybody could do that. And I was a little bit upset, to be honest. And I thought, well, I don't think it is egotistical. Surely the thought process can help people to move over. Yeah. Because my next door neighbor, well, the old man who lived over the road, sadly passed away during COVID. And he sadly passed away in his house when no one was there. I think he collapsed in the hallway.
Right.
And actually, when the ambulance came and my other neighbour rushed out and I sort of went to go out, but I didn't want to become part of the crowd.
Yeah.
But I could see him laid on the floor in the hallway before they moved him. And in my mind, I was saying to him, you know, it's okay. Please, if you can hear me, go towards the light, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And in my own little way, I was hoping that maybe I could help.
Yeah.
And then this person kind of completely quashed that and said, how ridiculous, how dare you think that you could do something like that sort of thing. So what I want to know is, What are both your thoughts on that?
I would sit down at a table with him and I would say to him that I categorically think that he is 150% wrong.
I agree.
Wrong. He's one that I don't know who he is, but I'll tell you the man. I guarantee you that he will do that thing that psychics do where they say, no, I'm very special. Only I can do what I do.
And that's where the ego is.
Every single person on this planet can tell if their mum is upset with them by looking at her face. Yeah. You know your child is sick. You just know it. Yeah? You know it. We all have psychic ability.
Yeah.
I've spoke to thousands of people. Some of them at 58 or age 52 have a single being. Every single person that's what. The more you use it, the more you get. It gets on there. She is works on instinct. She has instinctively said to him, you don't have to stay here. I know it's a shock. I know it is. But your loved ones are waiting for you. Yeah. You know, you've just got to walk towards that. You've just got to accept it. That means more to me than a man who's been on a course to learn how to be a medium or a psychic, because there ain't no course out there that can learn. Don't care how much he's done. Doesn't happen. It does not happen. It's ridiculous. You cannot sit online and do a course and come out of it and say, right, now I'm a medium. You learn. You have to earn those stripes.
Yeah, you do.
You have to earn the right to be able to sit down sometimes with people and give them the worst news in the world.
Yeah.
The worst news they're ever going to hear, and you're the person that's still. Yeah. The man who's told Michaela that is the most egotistical man.
Yeah, exactly.
I've probably ever. The thing that he's so different, that he's so unique, that only he can do those things. Well, his, to me, he's coming from a place of ego.
Yeah.
For me, I can feel that soul. I can feel that they're stuck. You know, I've done it in, I've walked in the middle of a black leech and moved miners on because suddenly they were there in front of me and I thought, oh my God, they don't know.
Yeah.
They've gone in a pit disaster and they just don't know. They're waiting for the siren and that siren's been waiting 80 years.
Yeah.
And it was like, you need to go home, boys. You need to go home. All of your friends and your family are waiting for you at the pit head. You need to go home.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you have to be a specialist in that. Whoever he was, Michaela, I hope every single day his milk is sour.
Well, I couldn't possibly say because I don't want to get myself in trouble, but I thought surely just regular people through their, you know, the strength of their thought could help in some way.
Like a spirit, your spiritual connection. Mm. I've done it through the Ouija board. I had a little group, there were four of us, and we used to do kind of little experiments and things. And we did it a couple of times through the Ouija board. We got people through who said they were scared because it was dark and they didn't know where they were. And we've kind of moved them on like that. And at the end, you know, you've not been messed about because at the end, all you just get spelt over and over again is thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's just, and it's really draining. But yeah, you don't have to be. I mean, I have got psychic abilities. I've just shut them down a little bit, but I think anybody can do it. Like you with your thoughts, if they can hear you in the darkness, you know what I mean. You've got that spiritual connection. If they can hear you, then that can help them to move on.
Yeah, and surely it's worth a try anyway.
Yeah, of course it is, yeah. If you're that way inclined, then yeah, I'd say so. Deborah's got a mute on.
Yeah.
There you go. Sorry about that. Everything just cut out for me then, but it might be this new house. There's a lot of strange stuff going on with the electrics, not of paranormal, but of the electrics. It just astounds me. It absolutely astounds me that he thinks nobody else can do it.
Yeah.
There are times in your life where we've all done it, where you've walked around a cemetery and you felt emotion.
Yeah.
As you've gone around and you've wondered what that person was like in life.
Yeah.
What Have you ever drove past a house and thought, I wonder what that person's life like who lives in there? You know, what was it like in the 1800s?
Yes.
That's us tapping into their energy.
Yeah, it is.
And we're all energy at source. So when those energy forces meet, you can say, it's okay, you know, I know you're scared, but it's okay to move on. It's not what you think it's going to be. Because sometimes we might be moving on a spirit that's maybe had the Helen Dalmatian thing, you know, that you'll do, if you've done that in life and you've not crossed over, and then that spirit's not, and they think they've done something wrong.
Yeah.
They might have been murdered, and it's happened that quickly that they haven't even realised. Car accidents and train crashes and things like that. There's a lot of spirit wander the earth and don't realise that they're dead.
No.
And some don't want to leave. You give them the option and they don't want to leave. And the majority of them do. And you can't blame them, can you, really?
I'd leave them. If you think about it that way, suppose some of these poltergeists, what we call poltergeist hauntings, could be frustrated spirits that don't know where they are, they can't move on. I hadn't actually thought about that until then.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, Deborah's making some very funny noises there.
Yeah. Bang. Yeah. Like the old man that Michaela had.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I can't hear you now, Deborah. No,
that's creep. I was just trying to say the man that you helped for decades and a new family moved in.
It keeps going on metallic. Yeah.
Yeah. My Wi-Fi is completely gone. Let me just message Deb.
Okay. So, So we'll probably wind up there because Deborah's new house has got electrical teething problems.
Yes.
And hopefully next time we talk to each other, I might have figured out my son's gaming headphones. Yeah. I'll need to have a lesson in those next time.
It's all very techie, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think we did really well. Yeah.
We did. And we must talk about this further as well, because obviously it's something that we all believe quite strongly in. So that would be a really good subject to bring up next time as well.
Definitely.
So I hope you all take care, and I shall speak to you in about a month's time, hopefully.
Yes.
So it's goodbye to Deb Singleton.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And it's goodbye to Deb Hatswell.
Good night, everyone.
And it's good night from me. And now I feel like I'm on a TV program.
Thank you to Deb and Deb for that fantastic, funny and interesting interview. And I do apologise for the last bit where I sounded like I was trying to be one of the two Ronnies, if not both of them. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed the podcast this week. Next week, we have a treat for you because we have author Craig Bryant back on. And the week after, we have Dave, Paranormal Dave Schrader from American TV. So, lots to look forward to. Hope you have a lovely evening. Make sure that you have that tot of something hot and fiery or warm to keep your cockles nice and toasty. So, without further ado, I'll wish you a good night. Sleep well. And remember, together we can figure it out. Night.